From the Reynolds Journalism Institute at the University of Missouri, welcome to Global Journalist. I'm Josh Kranzberg, in for Jason McClure. Many groups around the world are involved in the battle against ISIS, also known as ISIL or Daesh, but one group stands out a little more than the rest. A group of women guerrillas, part of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, are battling the terror group, and their story is the subject of the documentary Gulistan, Land of Roses. Its director, Zainay Aykol, followed the group as it trained and prepared for battle in Iraqi Kurdistan. She joins us on this edition of Global Journalist. Zainay, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
The first question is, why did you decide to make this film?
Actually, it's because it's a really personal subject. When I was really young, at age four, we immigrated from Turkey to Montreal. And at that age, I was in contact with the PKK fighters. They used to come and visit the villager from the east part of Turkey. So, and then we immigrate to Montreal, and at that time the Kurdish community have this new freedom because it was forbidden to speak Kurdish and to leave the culture, Kurdish culture there. So they organized a Kurdish community center where all the people, Kurdish, could come and they can talk about what was going on in Turkey, and they also prepare some demonstration against Turkish government, a lot of cultural also activities. So again, in a very young age, I was surrounded by that, by this political environment. And when I was 6 years old, I met Gulistan, which means Land of Roses. She was 18 years old. I was 6 years old. She was, used to be my babysitter. And one day she joined the PKK, and it was a tragedy for me because she was like my big sister. And she died in 2000 while she was fighting against Turkish government. So when I was doing my studies in cinema at university, and while I was doing my master, I decided to do a movie about her journey, why she decided to do this, because it's not from Turkey, not in the Kurdish region. It's from Montreal that she's going to the war zone. So the very first idea was to do a movie about her. But in 2014, when we went there, the war started, and I couldn't make the movie that I have in my mind. A lot of women who knew Gulistan was dead, some was in the war zone, other quit PKK, so I couldn't reach them. The only person that I could reach was one of the protagonists of the movie, which is Sozdar. So I decided to do the movie about Sozdar and one of the group who was with Sozdar in the temporary camp. But even if it's not about Gulistan, it's a lot about Gulistan because they share the same ideology, the same way of living there in the mountain. So it's about a lot of Gulistan.
I want to get back to Sozdar in a few minutes because she was fascinating as one of your main characters in the documentary. But why did you decide to focus mainly on the women's unit?
It was really because I tried to understand Gulistan, why she did that. So my main focus was Gulistan and then the women, because it's the guerrilla fighters, the Kurdish PKK, are 40% of women. It's the army who have the biggest amount of women in their army. So it was a subject that interests me. Why did they decide to do this?
At what age do these girls usually join these fighting groups, and why do they do it?
They signed the convention, the PKK, so it's 18 plus.
Okay.
So I saw 18 and I saw 55.
So why do they join?
There is a lot of reason why they join the PKK, but usually they are from Turkey. So we have to understand that. Usually in Turkey, the Kurdish have Kurdish family. They have at least one person in their family who have been arrested, who have been killed, who have been in jail. So they are living in this constant oppression by the Turkish government, and they don't want to be anymore a victim. And so they try to do something about it. And it's usually why they join the PKK.
Something that stood out to me was some of their reasons for joining, and some of them said that they were not fans of marriage and relationships And so they chose the group. One of the main reasons a lot of them joined was their dissatisfaction with the traditional female role. Are there others who disagreed, or talk to me about the mindset they had towards relationships and marriage and family when they joined the party?
Yeah, in the movies, Rojan said marriage is like kind of slavery, but it's not the idea of every Kurdish fighters because there's men also and women, and what they share it's based on feminism, because usually, but I mean at the beginning of the PKK in 84 they took the arms, and they were the leader of the PKK is Abdullah Öcalan, and he installed it in 78. They were communists at the beginning, and in 2005 Abdullah Öcalan he was really inspired by Murray Bookchin, which is he's an American philosopher, and it's based on communal system. So what Abdullah Öcalan tried to do is answer a new system now since 2005, which is called confederal and democratic, based on feminism, environment, direct democracy, pluralism, cultural and religious. So accepting everyone with their own culture, own religion. So it's very avant-garde kind of system, and especially in Middle East where the Islam is very strong and the patriarchal system. So they share it. Even the man and the woman, they have this strong ideology, and they really believe in that they can install that, and they are actually installing it in the Syrian Kurdish part, which is called Rojava, and they have three cantons for now, and it's working right now, this new system.
You said that they're accepting of most ideologies. The one thing I did notice that there was a bit of an anti-capitalist sort of spin, or an anti-capitalist sort of thought process. Can you explain a little more about that?
Because they think that the capitalism is not letting women to be free. So, and the women are used in the system of capitalism, and capitalism is directed by men. So if you have, especially for Kurdish, if you have the half of the population, which is the women who are oppressed, how you can imagine a revolution, how you can imagine to be free and install and be independent. So it's why they are also against all the capitalism system.
So the focus of the film is the fight of the PKK against ISIS. The PKK's original role was to create a separate state for Kurdish people. Has that role or idea changed now that they're in the fight against ISIS?
As I said, they were communists at the beginning, and then they changed in 2005 for a system. And this system, it's based on being independent. So they have their own system. They want to be in their country that they are, so which is Turkey, Iran, Iraq, and Syria, because the Kurdish are living there, in this four country. And the only thing that they want is to be independent in those countries, to have their own system of school, of parliament, everything that makes them independent.
A reminder, this is Global Journalist. I'm Josh Kranzberg in for Jason McClure. This week, we talk with Zayne Aykul, director of the film Gulistan, Land of Roses. It's a look at a group of women guerrillas in Iraqi Kurdistan as it fights ISIS. The documentary was a part of the annual True False Film Festival in Columbia, Missouri, and has already garnered acclaim from other festivals in Canada. One of the main characters, like I said, was Sozdar, an older guerrilla who's been fighting for close to 20 years. Simply put, I thought she was fascinating. She opened the documentary by saying she wanted more visible scars. She like showed the top of her head and was said that she wanted more visible scars, visible marks, and closed it by saying her team was going to war and she had a huge smile on her face. Like she was excited for that possibility. You follow her obviously throughout the film. It seemed like you guys grew really close. Talk to me about her story and her mindset and just her life in general.
Mm. She want a scarf because she want to see the. For her, she's doing a revolution in that part of war. So for her to have a scarf in her face is also a proof to others, I think, and it's confronting us of what is beauty for us, what is beauty for her. It's completely different. So it's a very shocking opening scene. And she, as you said, she have a really interesting story because her mom gave her to the PKK while she was 12 years old because of the oppression that they are living in Turkey, and her mom couldn't see any future for her. It was either she started to be a housewife when she will grow up, or there is a lot of not opportunities. So the only thing for her was to give Sozar to PKK. And so she grew up in the PKK movement.
So her mom gave her to the PKK to get her away from the what seemed to be the inevitability of becoming a housewife. And she wanted more for Sozdar.
And not only a housewife, but also because in Turkey, it was forbidden to be Kurd. Mm. If you said that you are Kurdish, you could be automatically in jail. So it's a very oppressive system. So she don't want that for her daughter. And she decided to give her.
So what is... So Sozdar's mindset, does she see herself ever having a family, or is this her family? Is her group her family?
It's this her family, and also the situation is not getting better for Kurdish. Maybe ISIS in a way help Kurdish situation because now they have a three canton in Syria, and they have their own system, so that helps. In a way, in a sense, the Kurdish. But no, she definitely don't think to get married and have kids. She's trying to do a revolution and trying to help people over there.
The other thing that stood out to me, the amount of dancing and singing and sort of fun activities in the film. How did that group manage to be so optimistic and positive in the face of what was certainly going to be a violent interaction with ISIS?
It was a cherry up for the troop. Mm-hmm. Because they were going to war after that, to Shingal at that time, which is very in the border of Syria, and Daesh in August 2014, they just took that city. So they were going there to save the people over there, and we have to remember that no one went there at that time, any international community, no one's. So they were the saver, if I can say that, to mm-hmm. For them, for people who live there. So they were really happy to go there and do something about that. And in the movie, we saw this scene, which is the cherry up of the troop, but we can see in a lot of army that kind of...
I was going to say it's nothing different than army soldiers, American army soldiers relaxing and playing video games. It's exactly. Just their version of relaxing.
Yeah.
You obviously followed them throughout their time during stakeouts, during military operations, sometimes in pitch black. Talk to me about your mindset while following them. Did they offer any sort of protection? And were there any times where you felt you were in extreme danger? Obviously, war zones are never going to be 100% safe, but was there ever a time where you felt that this was it, basically?
We were in the mountain at the first part of the movie, and the mountain in the north of Iraq is the base of the PKK fighters. So they were the only authority that we can lay on. So they were our protection for that region. And after that, in the second part of the movie, we're going to Mahmur, which is a city found by PKK. I mean, they built up this city. So we were under their protection again, so there is not other authority that we can lay on. And even if we are really close to ISIS, because in Mahmur, I think they were 600 meters far from us. But the thing is, there is a constant tension there, because you don't know when they will attack. And PKK, they don't want to attack first. They always wait to be attacked.
Why is that?
It's an ideology. For them, it's only about protection. It's not about fighting. So we have to wait to be attacked. So it was strange feeling, because you feel that there is a danger everywhere, but you don't. We don't have any fear in the same times, because we were. Every time that happened, something happened, we just go away. We have a car, and it was easy to just run from that.
How long did you follow this group?
2 months.
2 months. And were there any incidents that came a little too close to something happening, or were you always, like you said, did you always just get in the car and go away if it got too dangerous?
Yeah, exactly. And we were in the very first front, but there was not battle when we were there. So we just can escape whenever we want.
Did the soldiers seem excited for the opportunity of war, or what? Did they just feel that this was their duty as soldiers to protect the area?
Because their ideology is based on protection of people, so they are not paid by any government. They join the PKK by their own.
They volunteer.
Yeah, they are volunteers. So it's they are also very excited, because maybe excited is not the right words, but for them it's a duty also. And because if they don't do that, no one will do it. There, as we can remember, in 2014, when ISIS attacked Sinjar, the Peshmerga, which is the Kurdish military army, official army in the north of Iraq, for the Kurdish, they just ran away when ISIS attacked. So they were the only protection that people can have. It's about duty, of course, but also about what they have to do for people.
Did you feel by the end of the documentary that you were in a way part of their team, or did they view you as an outsider, as a journalist? I mean, obviously that was your role, is to capture everything, but did they view you as a member of their team by the end of the documentary?
I think at the very first beginning, I were part of them, because I have a Kurdish background. I speak Kurdish, I speak Turkish. I know very well the organization. I didn't feel that there is a gap between them and me. And I really want to do a movie about, even if it's in the war zone, not about the battle, not about how dangerous it is, but more about the intimacy, the portrait of why they are doing that, what is their goal. And they were really generous to me as soon as we get there at the camp in the north. They were super enthusiastic, and they accept us very fast. And I was with two Quebecers, the cinematographer Etienne Roussy, he's Quebecer, and the other sound man in the north. It was German. We didn't felt, even it's not maybe about ethnicity, but it's about also personal feeling that we share with those women.
A reminder that this is Global Journalist. I'm Josh Kranzberg in for Jason McClure. This week we talk with Zayane Aikyol, director of the film Gulistan, Land of Roses. It's a look at a group of women guerrillas in Iraqi Kurdistan as it fights ISIS. The documentary was a part of the annual True False Film Festival in Columbia, Missouri, and has already garnered acclaim from other festivals in Canada. A reminder that if you're interested in more Global Journalist content, visit us online at globaljournalist.org. There you can read our ongoing series of interviews with journalists in exile around the world and coverage of foreign affairs and press freedom issues. We're also on social media. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Global Journ, and also go to our YouTube page, Global Journalist.
Yarın eyleme gidiyoruz. Sen de geliyorsun. Umarım başarılı bir eylem olur. Oradaki Arap halkımızı da kurtarmış oluruz.
If one of the fighters in the group dies, do their families find out what happened? Do they get some sort of note or payment? Or I know that happens sometimes that their daughter or sister has died while fighting.
They don't get any payment because it's voluntary. But they will know that if something happened to them, of course, the PKK will tell to the family.
And they're viewed, similarly to American military, they're viewed as a hero for the cause.
Of course. Yeah, it's mythologic for Kurdish because they are the one who are against all this oppression going on. Because we have to understand that more than 100 years, Kurdish have been oppressed in that region. So they are the people are proud of their army, as the American are.
Yeah, exactly. So the documentary ended with the unit heading to war. Sozdar, with a smile on her face, says, I think we're going to war tomorrow. Did you go with them during that attack? Talk to me about once the camera was off, once you were done with the documentary, once you were done shooting, what happened after that? And what's going to happen next?
I couldn't follow her because she was going really in Kirkuk, where at that time it was very dangerous. So she went there and she came back. Now she's still in that small city, Mahmur, where the movie was shot. And she's trying to install a university for people who live there. So she's very involved in academic, of making people educate and interest in that. And for now, as you know, PKK is fighting as YPG in Syria. So it's another branch of PKK who was fighting with the American to take back Raqqa.
What was your reason for telling this story? Was it to just educate people around the world? You know, this is the first I'm hearing of a female group fighting. What was your reason behind making this documentary?
I think it's more about identity, because I really see myself in Gulistan when I was young, and I try to understand her and try to know why a person in Canada or anywhere could go and join a group like this. It was a very personal at the beginning, but also, as I told you, I study in cinema. I did all my education in cinema, so I have also the cinematic view of doing a documentary. So I think it's, even if it's more about, I think it's more about making links between people who look at watching the documentary and the people who are in the film. And now I think after watching that, we can feel more concern of what is going on there.
Talk to me about, you said this is your first documentary. Talk to me about the process. Talk to me about things that surprised you that while making this, first timer, and doing so well and getting all this acclaim and coming to, like I said, to Colombia for the True False Film Festival. Talk to me about everything that's happened to you since you made this documentary.
The movie was in a lot of festival, like I think for over 40 festival for now, wins 9 awards, and it's still going on everywhere. So it was really successful, but I never thought about that, doing that documentary. And the really surprising thing is that for a documentary, you have to write a script and to get the grant and to make people involved in your project. And in the process, the film could absolutely change. Mm-hmm. So I had a script based on Gulistan, her story, and now it's about Kurdish women fighters. It's close, but it's a completely different movie.
One thing that stood out to me was there was no narration, and you used a lot of natural sound, obviously, but the thing that you played a lot of is them cleaning their weapons, taking care of their weapons, loading up clips with bullets. Talk to me about your decision to not use narration, to not have you voice over, and then to use so much natural sound of them with their weapons.
The goal was to do an intimate portrait of them. So, and at the very beginning of the movie, we are not giving any information of where we are, who are those women, and what is the year of this film. So you don't know when you watch. You are like, you are deep in their own worlds, and the motivation was to do a portrait, an intimate portrait of those women, and to try to understand them. So it's why we didn't use any narration, and more about they are explaining me what I have kind of interview or a conversation with them, and we can understand by slowly in the movie who are they, these women.
So what's next? You have your first documentary. It's doing extremely well. What is next up for you?
I'm doing another documentary about Kurdish women fighters, but this time in Syria, because they are, as I said, they are planning to take back Raqqa with the American army. So it's about the militarization of women, how women have to be free, but to emancipate themselves, they have to be a part of this war. And also I want to film shoot what's going on in the city close to Raqqa, how this new system, which they are defending, is taking place.
Now, will there be, do you imagine it will be a similar setup to Gulistan, where you'll just follow along for a couple months and focus on one or two main characters, or will this be a different setup?
I think it could be a different setup, but as I said, sometimes you have an idea and it's completely different when you do it. But it's a completely different because it's other women and it's another location with a group. I think it the main focus was will not be like one or two person, but maybe more than one, two, a group.
Have you noticed more, because you're bringing a spotlight to these groups, have you noticed a change in coverage or awareness of the ongoing strife? Ongoing problems, yes.
In Canada or
anywhere. I mean, has your documentary brought more attention to it?
I cannot really say, but I know that there is article about PKK, about the movies. So, of course, there are some information that people get it with this kind of article because it's talking about the movie. But as you are doing also, we are talking about the movie, but also about what is behind this movie, what is the subject. So I think, of course, people get more informed because of the subject of the movie.
Well, that'll do it for this edition of Global Journalist, a production of the Reynolds Journalism Institute at the University of Missouri. Many thanks to Zionay Aycole for joining us. A reminder that if you're interested in more Global Journalist content, visit us online at globaljournalist.org. There you can read our ongoing series of interviews with journalists in exile around the world and coverage of foreign affairs and press freedom issues. We're also on social media. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Global Journ, and also go to our YouTube page, Global Journalist. Our producer this week is Sophia Sadir, our studio director is Travis McMillan of RJI, and our audio engineer is Pat Akers of KBIA. For all of us here at Global Journalists, I'm Josh Kranzberg. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.